are welcome to Faith to Faith broadcast. Enjoy the dynamic teaching ministry of Pastor Tibby Peters, the President of Renaissance Assembly Incorporated. This message will take you from where you are to where you ought to be.
Taking the message of faith around the world by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hear the call. Seize the voice. Fight the fight. See the vision. Seize the moment. Take your place. Fulfill the task. Seize the moment. Finish the course. All things are yours. All things are possible. Tarry not. This is the appointed time. These are your inheritance moments. Time for new beginnings, multiple accomplishments, and everlasting harvest. Keep your clouds full of rain. Let it rain. Take the good news everywhere, in season and out of season. Extend, expand, and establish. Hold on. Then rise. Did you hear that? Hold on. Extend, expand, and establish. I thought it was finished. He said, after that, then rise, shine, and reign. Let Christ be Lord to you. Let Christ be Lord through you. You will hear good news and see good things. Welcome to good things.
Father, we give you praise. We bless your name. Thank you for today. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for light. No one is living here the same way they came. In Jesus' most precious name. Let's celebrate Jesus again everywhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. My opening text for this session, I've titled it Continue. Everybody say continue. Let's start with Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Brethren, let me give you some of the scriptures and the media guides so that you have them, flip them. I'm going to read 42, I'm going to read 46, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3:14, I'm going to read 1 Timothy 4:16, I'm going to read Luke 1:1, I'm going to read Colossians 2:6. And many more. Amen. Amen. So just have those ones handy. Praise the Lord. So are you with me now? So this is the early church. Read aloud. Want to go? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, the key thing is they continued. It now told us what they continued in. Listen, church, we need to continue. There are some teachings that are trying to tell you to stop. Stop fasting and prayer. Stop giving and tithing. Stop going to church. Eh? But we will continue. We'll continue. In verse 46, I'll come back here. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They, continuing daily. The core thing about this continuing is that there was a set of beliefs that they continued in. And those sets of beliefs are doctrines, amen, that they believed in. And so they continued in them. We will never come to a place where we don't need to read our Bible again. Are you with me? I don't understand. We will never come to a place where we will not need to pray again. There is no new revelation that will cancel praying. There is no new revelation that will cancel reading of the Word of God. There is no new revelation that will cancel going to church. Do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as a man of some is. There's no doctrine that can cancel that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it said something powerful there. 2 Timothy 3:14. Now it said, but read aloud with me. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, the question is, what are the things I've learned? I'm supposed to continue in it. I want to ask you, what are the spiritual things you learned this year? Continue in it. Satan knows that if he can get you to stop it, then he can affect certain areas of your life. What makes you stop? I've met Christians that were serving in the house of God, and now they have stopped serving. Praise the Lord. They didn't continue serving. You know why? They've heard something else that had countered the conviction that made them to serve God. If you bring to me a higher truth, the truth should make me more committed to God, not less committed. If I became less committed after hearing a truth, it's not sound doctrine. If I heard a higher truth and it made me more irreverent about the things of the Spirit, then it is not sound doctrine. So I want to ask you, that new revelation you have now, has it made you serve God more? Has it made you a better believer? Some people say, oh, I'm now free. No, no, no. What you're actually saying is that I'm now lawless. There's a difference between God's word teaches freedom, but it doesn't teach lawlessness. That means that even if we are free, it doesn't mean that we don't have rules. Amen. Are you with me? There are boundaries we don't cross. If we don't have any boundaries, then we are lawless. That's not freedom. You can be confusing lawlessness with freedom. He said, well, do you know that when I first got born again, I used to wake up and pray for 1 hour every day before I go out. But now, I pray anytime I like. I'm just free. The grace has made me free. No, this grace has made you lawless. That's not freedom. And you know, the thing that some people do is that they feel, they will say, I've heard people say things like, when I even stop praying, nothing changed. Have you not heard believers, some of you are pastors here, that will tell you that, you know, sir, you've not been coming to church. I don't want your spiritual life. You say, no, my spiritual life is fine, fantastic. Fantastic. They're trying to convince you. Fantastic. No, it's fantastical. I'm cool with God. And when people talk like that, it's just like when a medical doctor comes to see you. Right? And it checks your pulse or checks your blood pressure. And it is reading 180 over 120. Then it says, hey, you need to come to the hospital. Say, I'm fit as a fiddle. I feel like I'm 21 now. You're arguing with. Amen. Are you with me? Something is wrong with you. That's why you're feeling like that. The thing that wants to kill you, amen, is what's making you feel like that. So when you hear a believer say, I am fine. Oh, you've not been going for service. You've not been doing midweek. You've not been praying. You've not joined any team. You're no more serving the Lord. What's going on? He said, no, I've been fine. Oh, funny enough, me and the Holy Ghost have been sweet. And I tell you that you cannot be fine when you're running contrary to the word of God. Hello. You cannot be fine. There is a way that seemeth right. You think you are fine, but you are not fine. Have you not met people that some kind of trauma happened to them? Then people came around them to console them. They said, no, it's okay. No, I'm good. Then just walk, they fall down, collapse. Have you not seen those kind of things? That time they were saying they're okay. They felt they were okay. But people know that you cannot be okay. Under this circumstance, you cannot be okay. Listen, let the word of God be true and every man a liar. If the word of God says, I cannot be fine if I'm forsaking the assembly of the brethren together, I have to believe that word of God. If the word of God says, a merry heart, do a good like mercy. Say, no, me, I've been an angry boy, but I'm fine. No. You will be healthier if you are happier. You will be healthier if you are more forgiving. Some of you have locked somebody before you came for convention. You locked them and kept them somewhere. You are worshiping the Lord. Somebody is locked. Amen. These days we have young folks. They're in their 20s, they're in their 30s. They have blood pressure issues. What? I live with my parents, you know. At least well into maybe their 50s. They didn't complain about those things. It's not too long ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, they started talking about at retirement. Are you understanding me? They started talking about all those things. You have not even gotten a job. Not retirement, you have not even gotten your first job. You have high blood pressure. If they not put job inside that blood pressure, why? Because some of you have more enemies than your grandfather. On your street, you're not talking to everybody from beginning to the end. Are you wondering how you can be fine? Do you know the energy it takes to keep grudge in the heart? To keep grudge, you need muscle. Are you understanding me? Do you know the energy it takes to keep a grudge? I will not forgive you. And you carry that grudge in convention. See your face. Let go in Jesus' name. Let go in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So, I would rather believe what the scripture said than argue with it. It might not have happened yet, but it will happen if the scripture said it's going to happen. So, continue in the things you've learned. What is Satan attacking in this season? Through false doctrine. I'll call it doctrines of devils. He's attacking the things that he doesn't want you to continue in. So, they're attacking giving. Amen. attacking church attendance and service, attacking your honor and reverence for the things of God and men of God. Amen. Why? If it was such an irrelevant thing, Satan won't fight it. Satan won't fight it. He won't fight it. But it is relevant. That's why he's fighting it. What you believe can harm you or help you. Did you hear me? 1 Timothy 4:16. What you believe can either help you or harm you. Ask your neighbor, what do you believe? 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, take heed to the doctrine and continue in them that you may both save yourself and those that hear you. So there is a doctrine, amen. There is a doctrine. Take heed. Take heed means pay attention to the doctrine. And when you then continue in the doctrine. For in doing this, you will save yourself and those that hear you. It matters what you are listening to. Did you hear me? It matters what you are hearing. If every day you keep hearing that going to church is a waste of your time, after a while you start believing it. If every day you hear that you don't, prayer is something that people are just overemphasizing, after a while, it will start affecting how you pray. Do you know some people believe that the Bible is no more relevant for today? Some people believe that the Bible is not relevant. Because Google can help you. Some people now, the voice of the Spirit is the voice of AI. And the voice of Google. They will ask Google, what do you think I should do now? Hello? You cannot follow the direction on social media to run your life. That's why the Spirit has been put within you. That guidance can save your life. People of God, let God's word be a priority. If the word of God is not a priority to you, you will not want to continue in it. Now, why will you be here and you are supposed to be listening to God's word, you are doing something else, you are taking something else? It's showing you how you are somehow reducing the value you have for the word of God over time. It happens to some people unconsciously. A Christian, 1 week, 2 weeks, you've not read your Bible once. When you just feel there's a problem, you just say, raga da ga da ga da ga da ga da. Zoku rekete marata ya ya ya. My brother, open your Bible so that your tongue will have power. The way some of you even use tongues is a replacement for everything. You wake up in the morning, you don't have time to pray. Say, laga raga ba zakataya. Mosho lo 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 lo. That's not worship. Worship is different. You see, in your devotional life, a core part of your devotion is worship. Did you hear me? Worship, core part of your devotion. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Worship. That's part of what you were created for. You were created to worship him. So when you dedicate yourself that in your devotional space, you are, these elements must be there. There must be worship in my devotion. No matter what happens, there must be worship in my devotion. And worship is not singing a slow song, my brother. Because if you leave some people, you just wake up in the morning. And I will always love you. What did they sing? Hello? Is it to Jesus? Worship, every slow song is not worship. Amen. That's the one you will not forget now. Every slow song is not worship. Are you listening to me? But there must be worship. There must be meditation. Meditation. That means your spirit must contact. There must be a rub off of the spirit on your word, of your spirit on the word of God. I've said it. In your devotional time, stop looking out for the spectacular. It doesn't have to be spectacular for it to be supernatural. That means what I'm saying, hey, is that it's not every devotion when you finish, your body be shaking. Hey, it's not every devotion. There's some devotions when you finish, it doesn't feel like anything happened, but something happened. Something happened. So we continue. Amen. With what? Continue. Now, every one of us here must be able to identify what we should continue in. Take heed to yourself, I just read the scripture now, and to the doctrine, that you may both save yourself and those that hear you. So, what is the doctrine? Everybody say, what is the doctrine? What is the doctrine? Glory to God. What is the doctrine? Very important. In the minister's session I had yesterday morning, I just tried to summarize it by saying this. I said, any doctrine that you are introduced to that reduces your love for people, for God, for the church, or reduces your honor is definitely not sound doctrine. So, if you don't have so much information on how to scrutinize sound doctrine, go with these two. Say the love code and the honor code. Say it again. Love, honor. Love, honor. Never forget that. After you hear a revelation, you now hate all your cell members. After you got a new light, you now disrespect spiritual leaders. That's why if somebody is teaching a revelation and the spirit with which they are communicating, the Bible says we speak the truth in love. If I'm sharing a revelation, and inside of that revelation, because listen to me, offense can make somebody start searching for something that validates their offense. Yes, sir. I am very careful to listen to the revelation of an offended person, because that revelation can never be pure. When we're younger, I've not heard it. Okay, I heard it recently again. Somebody said it, but when we're younger, in the 80s and more of 80s, we had a lot of, in the 80s, I'll say within the years 84 and 93, I think we had a lot of new churches emerge in this city. Amen. And so there were a lot of what they call church breakaways. So you know the language then? The cloud has moved. That revelation that comes from a rebel cannot be a pure revelation. Are you with me? It cannot be pure. There is poison inside of it. Somebody could be in a church and he's a minister of the gospel and the church offended him. Hello? Listen, there's no human society that people will not be offended. In your family, don't they offend you? So, if you keep changing your name because they offended in your family, how many names will you have? There is no human society that people will not be offended in. In place of work, people will offend you. And you too, you offend people. In your family, you might even be the one offending people. After this conversion, you're waiting to make a call now. Amen. Because you want to offend. I will tell in my mind. Are you understanding me? In the same way, in the church, in your cell group, people will offend you, sometimes not deliberately. But you see, your response to offense must always be love first. Love. If someone acts wrong and you act right, you will right their wrong. But if someone acts wrong and you also act wrong, you've escalated wrong. Are you with me? Why am I saying this? So, somebody is in a church and then he was offended in that church. Then he goes to start something. And everything he's building is something to taunt where he's coming from. Are you with me? There are people that started fellowship groups because they were offended with church. After they said, there's no difference between, you know, as long as we gather, we are a church. Do you really believe that? Or you are just saying it? Can I address some issues now? I met a guy. He came around for one of our ministers' meetings years ago. And he's a pastor. So he was to inaugurate a fellowship he had run for some years, but he wanted to do an inaugural meeting. We call it an inauguration or whatever. So he was trying to invite me. And I didn't know him too well. But I see his face because he used to come. We used to do school of ministry between the years 2011 and 2018. So this would have been 2014 or 15. I'm not sure of the year now. So I didn't know him too well, but I see him around. So I said, okay, let's find some time to talk. So we sat down, and I said, tell me about yourself. You know, oh, I got born again, so I used to be a social church. I said, okay, so where were you ordained? That was the question I asked. So where were you ordained? He said, ordained? Do I need to be ordained? So that's like, I don't understand. You've not been ordained? I thought you said you're a pastor. Say, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor because God has called me. So I said, so you were never ordained? He said, Jesus ordained me. So that got my attention. So he was to start services. And then I said, do you have pastors in your fellowship? He said, yeah. I said, so how did they become pastors? He said, I made them pastors. And I asked, on what authority? How are you sure they are pastors when you are not even sure you are a pastor? Hello? Listen, This kingdom, it was planned before you showed up. We are not planning as we are going. There is already a plan. Tap it and we say there is already a plan. Follow the plan. There's an order. There is a pattern. It's not a pattern set by men. It's a pattern set by scripture. Amen. Who did Jesus commit this thing to? Those that were eyewitnesses. That's why he called 12. Everybody knew the 12 that Jesus ordained them. Should I show you scriptures now? He ordained them. Amen. Now, listen. He didn't just say, follow me and be preaching. No, 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 no. When he called them to himself, he ordained 12. Let me show you some scriptures. Praise the Lord. Very important. Because these days we must be showing scriptures so that people will know that there is heaven. Hello. I said people will know that there's what? There's heaven. I'm going to read just a very short verse of scripture. Mark chapter 3, I think will help me. In Mark 3, do you know where I learned this scripture? I'll read from verse 13. I'll read from verse 13 and maybe stop at 18 or 19. You know who taught me this scripture? Archbishop Benson Idahosa. I first heard the scripture from him as a teenager. So I want to read it to you. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him, this is Jesus, to show you that the people that he's going to transmit this thing to, it matters that they are the right people. He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Verse 14. And let me use that bishop word. And he ordained 12. That's how he said it. And he did his agbada like this. And he ordained 12 that they should dwell with him. So they should be with him. Amen. And that he might send them forth to preach. If ordination was not important, why did Jesus ordain them? And to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. So those disciples ordained others and ordained others. That's how I got ordained. So somebody say, nobody ordained you. There is the doctrine of apostolic succession. This thing is transmitted from one generation to the other. It has to be carried down to you. Amen. We are not just an organization with no direction. The head of the church has appointed leaders in the church. The ones he knows. So that he won't come and tell you, I knew you not. Because he didn't send you in the first place. Am I helping somebody here? So there's no modernization that can change that pattern. It can change the pattern. Are you with me? All right, so soundness of doctrine I'm talking about. How do you know that something, and I said the purity, the heart from which it is coming. If it's coming from offense, then I'm careful how I'm listening to what the person is saying. You just had a divorce. Now you're teaching us about marriage. Now, there could be exceptions. But the truth is that I'll be careful. Because maybe, as a man, I don't know what your wife did to you. You now come and say, praise the Lord. Well, men, you have to be careful with wives. offense can never bring out pure truth. Because offense blinds. Amen? It blinds. That's why when offense builds, you need to pray it out. Hello? You need to pray it out. You need to pray it out. So some of the folks that are Christian brothers or ministers of gospel, you hear around social media saying some things, fighting some things. If you listen closely, you sense that there's offense. There's offense. Are there people that have come up with an emphasis that maybe the body of Christ had not given attention to? Yes, there are people. When the Higgins and the E.W. Kenyons, in their own time, they brought up things that the body of Christ was not emphasizing at that time. E.W. Kenyon began to talk about new creation realities. But he didn't insult anybody. Long before he came, there were the John Wesleys and all those guys were already there. He came and presented his truth, saying that this is an addition to what they have. Amen. Higgins, they came on the scene and they taught about the importance of faith. They didn't abuse everybody. You will see in his book, he will write about the Baptists, he will write about the Catholics, he will write about, are you understanding me? Meaning he understood that there are others in the body, glory to God. But this is the contribution I'm bringing. But you now bring a revelation that says, every man of God is wrong. I, the L-I-R, I'm right. I cannot be the only person that is right. That means God has failed. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So sound doctrine has to come from a place of no offense. Praise the Lord. And then, how do you judge sound doctrine? I'll just give you three important ways to know. Number one, First Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome. Wholesome means the same Hebrew word, sorry, Greek word that was used for sound is the same word. Hogiani. Hogiano, actually. It means something healthy, healthy words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That means that one of the ways to judge that a doctrine is sound is that it is according to godliness. Did you hear me? It does not make you more ungodly. Hey, you are not hearing me now. The doctrine does not make you more ungodly. You will not hear the doctrine and you say, ah, I was wearing miniskirt before, now I'm going to wear pants. Did you hear me? You didn't, some of you, only the brothers are answering. I said, if you hear a revelation, that the revelation now made you that before you were wearing miniskirts, now you want to wear pants. It didn't produce godliness in you. It's making you more ungodly. It's not sound doctrine. Before you used to forge signature, now you want to steal. After you heard the revelation that nothing will happen to you. Amen. Amen. That means that doctrine is not according to what? Godliness. You had only one suitor as a lady in your life. After you heard it, you now have four men. One takes care of your hair. The other one takes care of your transport. The other one pays your house rent. Amen. I'm getting your attention now. That means that doctrine you heard is not a sound doctrine. Because it's not according to what? Godliness. The doctrine that is sound is that it will make you more godly. Not more ungodly. Number two. Let me read Titus 1 verse 11. It says, whose mouth must be stopped, whose of our whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for feeding lugar's sake. If the doctrine, you know, feeding lugar is not just sometimes directly cash, but is out of personal selfish aggrandizement. Is it aggrandizement? I made a mistake. It means that sometimes why you are saying that thing is because you will get more likes on Facebook. You will get more followers. Hello. That's what the thing is all about. If I say this thing, I will go viral. You know, some people now going viral is the main thing. So now, as I'm teaching now, it won't be, if I just say, if there's something I will just say now, everybody will hear. So sometimes I think that's why people say some things that they say. So that's not sound doctrine, because the aim is just to go viral. Or the aim is to shake tables. God didn't call us to shake tables. Amen. Teach the word of God. Did you hear me? Teach the word of God. Titus 2:1-6. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I just want to show you something there. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh what? Holiness. Not false accusers. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. That they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. All of it was talking about good behavior. Is that not so? That means that sound doctrine produces good behavior. That's what we call moyanya. Sound doctrine produces what? Good behavior. Sound doctrine. Good behavior. So if the doctrine is sound, your behavior will be better. Now, I agree that salvation is not behavior modification. But if salvation has come, it will modify your behavior. You were a very rude girl. Not girl, gal. Rude gal. Before you received Jesus Christ. Now you've been born again for 2-3 years. The revelation you are receiving is how to be more rude. Your behavior is not being modified. That's not sound doctrine. Glory to God. That's what the Bible referred to as the doctrine of devils. But I want to show you something, and that's where I will end. Revelations 2:14-15. This is John the Beloved. That I read 13 and 14 instead of 14 and 15. 13 and 14, rather. I want to just show you something here. This is from the beloved John. He said, I know your works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Listen, oh. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So he's saying that place where you are, even if you are faithful, Satan has a seat in that place. There are some cities, there are some organizations that Satan has his chair there. But how did he get there? Next verse 14. He said, but I have a few things against thee. Because thou hast there them that hold what? The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Good. Now, this scripture is talking about the doctrine. Everybody say the doctrine of Balaam. We are in that age now where there's the doctrine of Balaam. Anywhere there's the doctrine of Balaam, Satan will have his feet. Anywhere you endorse that doctrine of Balaam, Satan will have. So what is the doctrine of Balaam? Any teaching that puts a stumbling block before the people of the children of God is the doctrine of Balaam. What do you mean by stumbling block? Do you know what stumbling block there is in the Greek is scandalon? Scandalon. That's where you get the word scandal. Anything that scandalizes the church that will make believers say, ah, this church we are going to now is the doctrine of Balaam. Anything that causes an offense to either the word of God, the presence of God, the authority of the church is the doctrine of Balaam. And anywhere that doctrine is adopted, Satan will have his seat in that place. Glory to God. So, John, beloved, was telling them about that. If you read further, he also talked about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The scripture didn't explain what they were, but God said, that doctrine I hate it. Which thing I hate? So, we are in the age now where on social media, there are doctrines of Balaam bringing a stumbling block to believers. Why didn't you give your tithe last month? Because of the revelation you heard on social media. Why didn't you give your partnership again? Because somebody came and said, the word of God says you should eat your tithe. What is he talking about? Those scriptures have been there before now. Amen. And they are deliberate falsehoods. Because they are sharing and withholding information just to drive a particular point. Amen. The Jews paid different kinds of tithes. Three different kinds of tithes. Amen. The welfare tithes, the ceremonial tithes, and the Levitical tithes. So they gave 30%. Hello? But not always at once. Some they do once a year. Are you with me? So, but they had the ceremonial tithe. Now, why it's called a tithe is that it is 10% of your income. The ceremonial is that it's money you keep aside that when you're coming for convention, you will use it. But the Levitical tithe goes to the Levites. Amen. It's a different thing. Your ceremonial tithe is not a worship unto God. It's a saving plan of God for you. But the Levitical tithe is a worship unto the Lord. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
That was in the old covenant. We are not tithing because of the old covenant. We're not tithing because of Leviticus, Exodus. No. We're tithing because of Abraham. Amen. In Genesis 14, I believe the first is verse 18, where the scripture talked about Abraham meeting Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a human, was a person, a man. But he was a representation of Christ. Are you listening to me? Just as your pastor is a man. Amen. He was a man. But he, in the realm of the spirit, he had higher authority than Abraham. How do we know that? When they spoke about it in the book of Hebrews 7, he said, the less is blessed of the greater, calling Melchizedek greater than Abraham. So, look at the meeting. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. It's a hinted meaning. Everybody say hinted. I'm using the Hebrew expression. In Leah's interpretation of Hebrew, in explaining the Bible, they have what they call the Pashat, which is the simple meaning. They have what they call the remes, which is the hinted meaning. Hinted meaning means that a statement is made, but I'm hinting you of something else. So, they're telling you that he brought forth bread and wine. He's talking about the body and the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's a hinted meaning. And then, the scripture now introduces him. This is the first time the name of God as El Elyon was ever used in the Bible. Most High. First time. First time. So, he says, and he, Melchizedek, was the he didn't say a priest. No. Meaning, there are no other priests at that time. He was the priest. He was the priest. The priest there means the Kohen, the official of God, to transact matters of God with men. So, when he showed up in front of Abraham, Abraham gave him tithes of all. He had blessed Abraham. Abraham is blessed, but he still blessed him. It shows you that we that partake of Abraham, we still get blessed. Are you with me? So, he gave him tithes. Now, two things I want to show you here. Number one is that he is the priest. Amen. The priest. And his priesthood, the order, there are two priesthoods in the entire scripture. The priesthood of Melchizedek and the priesthood of Aaron, if you are calling names. So, the priesthood of Melchizedek is the priesthood that Christ was patterned after. The priesthood of Christ and the priesthood of the New Testament is patterned after Melchizedek. Every priesthood receives gifts and offerings. The Melchizedek priesthood receives tithes. So if what you are operating is the Melchizedek priesthood, you tithes. Now, when he met Melchizedek and gave him tithes, he gave it to him as an act of worship to God. If it was something, so I heard somebody say that Abraham borrowed it from idol worship. He was an idol worshiper. So he borrowed this. No. You can't give God what he doesn't want to take. If he brought something based on idol worship to Melchizedek, he would have told him no. But Melchizedek received it because what he was doing was right. And I'm telling you, tithing is right. And your high priest, as Melchizedek was, still receives tithe today. Glory to God. What is the difference between the priesthood of Melchizedek and the priesthood of the Levites? Simple. In the priesthood of Aaron, you paid. In the priesthood of Melchizedek, you give it. You didn't hear me? So in the New Testament, we don't pay our tithes. We give our tithes. Do you see the difference? We don't pay it. It's not an obligation to pay. It's an act of worship. Glory to God. Did you get that light? Amen. You see, these things are very important for you to understand. Very important. So sound doctrine. Amen. Sound doctrine. Jesus died. He rose again. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. It is a place. It's not in our mind. Amen. It's not in our mind. Heaven is a real place. A real place. Everything that exists came out of that place. Glory to God. Are you with me today? Hell is a real place. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. It's a real place. Glory to God. Are you with me? So, what the Bible says is true, is true. Stop trying to explain away the scriptures. There are certain things you might not understand in scripture. It doesn't change the fact that it is true. Do you know some people still argue that, how can fish swallow a man? But the scripture said it happened. Amen. That Jonah was swallowed by a fish. Do you think man has discovered all the creatures that God created? Listen, apart from those that are now extinct, some are extinct, meaning that they are no more here. But there are some that are not extinct too, but man has not found it. I believe so. You read your Bible, you read Jobs, you hear creatures like Leviathan. Are you understanding me? Behemoth. Eh? Nobody knows what they're talking about. The unicorn. Nobody knows what they're talking about. He will exalt my horn like the horn of a unicorn. They say it's a horse. No, the horse does not have a horn. So they are talking about something. Amen. Leave it. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So stay with the scriptures. The Bible says the sun stood still. What he's talking about was that whatever he did, time froze. The science behind it. We are not going to try to use science to prove what God said. Science cannot prove that a virgin can give birth. There are many things you believe in scripture that science cannot prove. Now you want to talk about the solar system. That the creator, he can't stop the solar system and make everything look like it never stopped. People argue, did the Red Sea part or didn't part? My brother, the scripture said it parted. Amen. Your science might not prove it, but the word of God has said it parted. Can somebody die and wake up again? But the Bible says Jesus resurrected. Is there any science that can prove it? So stop trying to use science to validate the word of God. The word of God does not need science to validate it. Where science attempts and it works, fine. But if science is not able to, it doesn't change what we believe about the word of God. The Bible says an axe head floated. Metal fell under the sea. And a man took stick and threw in the water. And the metal floated to the top. Does that not defy physics? But the scripture says it happened. Now somebody will sit and say, well, maybe what they were calling iron was actually plastic in those days. Hallelujah. The Bible is replete with miracles. One after the other. This happened, and then this happened, and then that happened. See where this thing is going. It is going to question our faith in this Messiah. Mary asked, how shall these things be? He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And she conceived. If you leave people, they will investigate and come up with another position. Amen. We suspect. It doesn't change it. It doesn't change it. Elijah! They say he was not caught up. In amen. That time he said, in an awao. That he was not caught up. That he died. So I had that altercation with a guy on social media, and then I corrected, because I know him. You know, I know him. I didn't expect that he will allow that infection corrupt his spirit. So I corrected it. And he said, okay, he's going to go and do further research, because he has finished what he knows, and I've proved him wrong. Elijah was caught away. Enoch, God took him, for he was not. Amen. They did not die. It's a proof that a generation will not die. Amen. That a generation will be caught up. If you can disprove that, if you can prove otherwise, that they didn't, then you are saying that this doctrine of eternal judgment, the doctrine of, how does he put it now? The doctrine of resurrection and eternal judgment. Then you are saying it's a wrong doctrine. Galatians, Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. Talks about the doctrine of repentance and faith toward God. It's always in pairs. Repentance, faith toward God. Doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands. The doctrine of resurrection and judgment.
eternal judgment.
Stand up.
By the time you go, like when you yawn, word will come out. Amen. Never again will false doctrine come and knock on your door. Because it will see the blood, it will pass you over. It will see the light in your life, it will pass over. In the name of Jesus. People of God, be grounded in this convention. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. And thank God for you will see manifestations in this meeting. But we want you to be able to stand beyond the manifestations. Praise the Lord. Can you pray for yourself? No more confusion. No more confusion. No more confusion. No more confusion. Koshile brata sile bon bregadiotos. Raba katana masile broto salabandi rosso bregadiata. Zemende ke plato celebroto pariana makatieroso. Zemende ke plato si, pretonza, melezucre dose. Rebeketonama, sike pratieros. Rebeketunama, siete, zeleketiros. Meroto sile brande ke sile atieros. Mekopa, rabatieto, celeboso. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' most precious name.
Thank you for listening to this message. Please, you can reach us via WhatsApp on 090-849-90878. You can also send us a message on info@faith2faithonline.org. For more messages, log on to our 24-hour radio platform at www.faith2faithradio.org. Join us this Sunday at Renaissance Assembly for a life-transforming experience at Plot 5, Sania Batch Road, GRE Phase 3, Port Harcourt. First service 8:30 a.m. and second service 10:30 a.m. Renaissance Assembly, the church of the moment and the church of the future. God bless you. Generation individually.